Welcome to the Shepherd Thoughts Podcast, an audio resource that encourages biblical thinking for biblical living as we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, our Good Shepherd. For more episodes and other helpful resources online, visit shepherdthoughts.com. And now, here's your host, Pastor Thomas Overmiller.
Welcome to Shepherd Thoughts, episode 177. This is Pastor Thomas Overmiller, and we're continuing a series that I'm calling Misused Bible Verses. This is example number 5. Well, how many times have you heard someone say this about the word all? All means all, and that's all that all means. While this is true, that the word all means all, the word all doesn't always mean every possible thing all at once. The word all does not always include all things. While this may be obvious, we don't always apply this simple fact to our personal study of the Bible. If somebody tells you, when you look in the Bible and you see the word all, don't think too hard, it just means all, well, it actually probably doesn't mean all. As a result, we easily misinterpret and misapply what the Bible says when we misunderstand the word all and include too many things in it. I'll give you a common example. Athletes often scrawl Philippians 4:13 onto their sneakers or quote this verse in a press conference when they win. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. They say this verse motivates them to play hard, to fight through adversity, and to come out winning in the end. But what happens when an athlete on both opposing teams is motivated by the same verse? Only one can win. If all means all in a universal sense, then this verse would be appropriate for playing a game to win. But that's not what Paul was talking about when he says this. He is not saying that if you claim this verse, you can do anything that's in front of you. Whatever challenge you face, you can climb that mountain, you can win that game, you can do that thing because you can do all things through Christ. Well, not everything is possible. Paul was feeling, well, he was sensing that the church at Philippi had a need. He was speaking to the believers in that city, and they were experiencing some measure of hostility for their faith, just like Paul had faced when he planted the church there in the beginning. Perhaps you remember he was thrown into prison because of preaching the gospel. He was beaten in all of this, and he sang in the prison that night, and the Philippian jailer was converted. Well, as a result of the difficulties that the believers were continuing to face in that city, they were succumbing to feelings of anxiety. That's why Paul told them in Philippians 4:6, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." After providing the believers with some additional guidance, Paul thanked them for some financial support that they had given to him. In Philippians 4:10, he says, "I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again." Then in Philippians 4:14, he said, "Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress." This gift helped him at a crucial time, which he described as his distress, a word which means a time of extreme pressure and difficulty, and in this case, from a financial and material standpoint. In fact, they were the only church who provided for his material needs when he was planting and pastoring churches in Eastern Europe. Even the church at Thessalonica, whom Paul elsewhere called an exemplary church, failed to provide financial support. In Philippians 4:16, he said, "Even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities." Because of this difficulty that he faced, the church of Philippi had stepped up to meet the need from a distance on repeated occasions. To demonstrate why this financial help was important, Paul described it as pleasing, as an acceptable sacrifice, not to him but to God. Furthermore, he encouraged them by pointing out that by meeting his needs this way, they would receive abundant spiritual fruit. Philippians 4:17 says, "Not that I speak or seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account." This indicates that when you give to meet the needs of someone else this way, especially for the cause of the gospel, then God exchanges your financial contributions for eternal rewards, which he then applies to your heavenly account to earn compound interest. And when you teach believers to give and meet needs this way, you are actually teaching them how to have this benefit in eternity. Paul makes it clear that he was not teaching these things because he wanted more money. Whenever a preacher talks about these things, it will be easy for people to accuse him of doing that. To reveal that he had the right attitude, though, he explained that he was not making a request for support to meet his needs. "Not that I speak in regard to need," he says in verse 11, "for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content." And he hadn't done that before either. Here's how things had played out. He was in a dire financial situation, especially when he was caring for the church at Thessalonica. At the same time, the church at Philippi was looking for opportunities to meet his needs. When they discovered his need, they sent Epaphroditus from their church, and perhaps other people at other times, to provide the help that Paul needed. Philippians 4:10, it says that they lacked opportunity before, indicating that they found it when he had this need. In verse 16, "Even in Thessalonica you sent aid once and again for my necessities." Verse 18, "I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God." They had done the research for themselves, and they had taken the initiative to meet Paul's need. Ultimately, Paul was not asking for their help, though he needed help badly from somewhere. Despite his need, he had chosen to embrace a bedrock principle for Christian living. He says in Philippians 4:11, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content." That's the key. Contentment is an inner frame of mind that learns to adapt your circumstances, even when the circumstances do not change. This mindset does not panic and worry when your financial situation is grim, nor does it wander from God when your financial situation is abounding with resources. That's exactly how Paul describes it. He said, "I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." Philippians 4:12. This leads me to the oft-quoted or oft-misquoted verse that I mentioned at the beginning of this episode. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Philippians 4:13. Knowing the context of this verse, to what does all things refer? Does it refer to anything at all? Does it mean that you can climb a mountain on an extreme wilderness hike? Does it mean that you can win a football game if you pray before? Does it mean that you can pass your exam at school? Does it mean that you can go to work and exceed the sales goals because you claimed this promise by faith? Unfortunately, it doesn't mean any of these things. This verse teaches us to receive from Christ the inner quiet strength of contentment. We need this contentment no matter what we face, whether we win the game or lose it, whether we make the hike or we give up. We need this contentment when the refrigerator is full, when we own the house, and when the retirement account is outperforming the market. But we need this contentment when the refrigerator is empty, when we don't own the house, and when the retirement account is going nowhere fast. This contentment applies to both situations. This is not a verse for winners only. It's a verse for losers, too. Whether you are winning or losing on the material and financial side of the ball today, you need this verse. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can handle financial success with quiet, calm, and peace, and you can handle financial hardship and suffering with the same quiet confidence in God. Why did Paul share this truth with the believers at Philippi? Not just to say thank you for their financial support, which he did, and not just to explain his own personal mindset towards suffering and success, which he did. He shared this with them because some of them were also facing financial difficulties. That's why he encouraged them by saying, in verse 19, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." You see, this is not just a verse for pastors. It's a verse for every believer, whether you're experiencing abundant financial blessings or severe financial need. You can do all these things through Christ who strengthens you, knowing that in every situation, God will provide for your needs somehow in his time and in his way. Does this verse describe you today? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Are you blessed with the prosperity that Paul said he experienced sometimes? Or are you going through a financial crisis, which Paul also experienced sometimes? In either case, are you living the life of complete contentment in Christ? If not, then you can embrace this perspective today, as Paul once did, and as he encouraged the church at Philippi to do as well. You can do all things through Christ. You can go through financial hardship, and you can go through financial success with contentment. I hope this has been a help. God bless you.
This has been another edition of the Shepherd Thoughts Podcast. For more episodes and other helpful resources online, visit shepherdthoughts.com. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ enable you to devote your heart and mind to biblical thinking for biblical living. Thank you for listening.